If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve thy present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with the last seven verses.
Thank you.
O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading is from the 7th chapter of Isaiah. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing the first 5 verses of hymn 91. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of the holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We finish the last 4 verses of hymn 91. first epistle, the fourth chapter. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with hymn 98.
Thank you.
from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 645.
Thank you.
A reading from the 96th Psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is also as firmly established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with hymns 95. God, you make this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known the mysteries of that light on earth, we may also come to know the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning in fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with hymn 81.
Thank you.
chapter of Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with hymn 80. Gospel lesson is found in the second chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem, and to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated as we continue with the first seven verses of hymn 85.
Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
Please be seated as we finish the verses for hymn 85. So is this a true story? Was Jesus really born in Bethlehem to a virgin mother? Or is Jesus just a historical person like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln? Many people ask these questions and they answer no. They'll object that very little is written about Jesus during the time he supposedly walked upon this earth apart from the Gospels. And you can't really take the gospel seriously, can you? I mean, after all, they're filled with miracles and wonders. They were written by religious fanatics. Nevertheless, they're saints in Christ. Why can't you take the gospels of the New Testament seriously? Are they really historical legends? Well, let's consider them. Four different individuals wrote four different yet complementary and corroborated accounts about the life of Christ. They give dates. They give locations. They give names. They list additional witnesses. Everything that you would desire for a historical report. The Gospel of Luke especially fits this description. Written by a physician named Luke, who was a companion of Paul and other disciples of Jesus. Luke goes into extraordinary lengths to write a faithful account of what he had seen and heard. The Gospel of Luke begins, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. So in other words, Luke did his research. He interviewed eyewitnesses. He recorded their testimonies, compared the notes with others, and wrote a narrative which agrees with the other writings of the same events. Luke is meticulous in his writing, telling you this happened when a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Who? What? Where? When? He answers all the relevant questions. Humanly speaking, there is no reason to doubt Luke, what he writes in his gospel, concerning what you just heard tonight, except for a bias against the supernatural. I mean, a virgin conceiving and giving birth, angels appearing before shepherds. If not for these supernatural events, Luke and the other Gospels would be accepted as the finest historical documents of their age. Nevertheless, there is a better reason why you, who have stifled your natural bias against the supernatural, should accept what was read tonight besides the fact that Luke followed the highest standards of historical research. Listen to how Luke's Gospel relates to the prophecies of Isaiah. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Now compare these words with what the angel said to Mary when he told her that she would conceive the Savior. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary asks the angel how this can be, since she is a virgin, echoing back to the saying in chapter 7 of Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, of course, King Ahaz never saw this sign. Rather, 700 years afterwards, the angel said to the shepherds out in the field outside of Bethlehem, "This will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." It was fitting that the angel announced the sign to the shepherds outside the city of David, since David himself was a shepherd in those same fields. And it was to him that God promised that he would set his son on his throne forever, referring to the Christ. is also fitting that the whole company of angels celebrated the birth of this Prince of Peace by singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These are just a few examples of how the Gospels fit together with the prophecies of the Old Testament, like pieces in a puzzle. Indeed, there would not be enough time between now and the return of Christ for you to discuss sufficiently all the prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus. And this is why you should regard what you have heard tonight so highly. The reason the Gospel of Luke fits so well with the writings of the Old Testament is not simply because Luke was such a brilliant scholar. It was because Isaiah and Luke have the same author. Although they were written over 700 years apart by two different men, the Holy Spirit Himself is the author of every book of the Bible. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Scripture is reliable because it was caused to be written by God Himself. Truly, the Bible is the Word of God. This means that you should regard what you have heard tonight from Luke's Gospel with as much certainty as the shepherds did the words of the angels on that holy night. Not only does this teach you that the Scriptures are dependable, but this also tells you to whom they are written. That the Holy Spirit caused the words from Luke to be written, to be passed down from generation to generation, means that they were written for you. It is as John wrote in his gospel, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So this means that the words of the angels, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord," are not words only for the shepherds, but they're words for you. They're words for me, and indeed for all people, that Jesus is your Savior. In Matthew's Gospel, the angel told Joseph that the child's name will be Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because He will save His people from their sins. Jesus saves you from your sins. Truly, Jesus only came to save sinners. For Jesus to be your Savior, you must be a sinner. Now, this doesn't mean that you go out and break God's Ten Commandments in order for Christ to be your Savior, because you do that already enough without putting any special effort into it. But this does mean that you must become aware of your sins. Jesus saves sinners. If you are not aware of your sins, and you do not need to be rescued from them, you will not understand what it means that Jesus is your Savior, and you will not be able to welcome Him as your Savior. Nevertheless, if you recognize that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, the news that Jesus saves sinners is truly marvelous. Jesus comes to save idolaters, adulterers, liars, murderers, thieves, gossipers, drunkards, people who skip church. He comes to save them all. Jesus comes to save you. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Who is the us? Who is speaking these words? Haven't been given these words by the Holy Spirit. You do. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." Jesus was born for you. This means that the following words apply to you as well. "The government shall be upon His shoulder." This is not an earthly government which with taxes, that places tariffs and makes trade deals, fights wars, and desperately clings to its power. No, this is a heavenly government, one where Jesus rules with all authority. This government is not limited to national borders. Rather, you are a citizen of this government. When Christ rules your heart through faith in His Word, His name shall be Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is your counselor. This means that He counsels you. He listens to His words and guides them through this life as a shepherd guides his sheep with a rod and staff. He draws you to repentance. He forgives your sins and guides you in the path of righteousness. Mighty God, Jesus is your God. This means that you trust in Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. You trust Him in all things. You trust that God will give you all good things for the sake of Jesus who died for you. And the greatest of these good things is the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Everlasting Father, Jesus teaches you that if you have seen Him, you have seen the Father. Scripture makes it very clear that the Father and the Son are two distinct persons in the Holy Trinity. And Jesus is God the Son. He is not God the Father. The Father was not born of the Virgin Mary, nor did He die upon the cross for your sins. Nevertheless, Jesus is to you an everlasting Father. He provides for you eternally, as a father provides for his children and rules over his household with honor. The Prince of Peace. Peace. That is the word proclaimed by the angels at Jesus' birth. That is the word Jesus declared to his disciples when he rose from the dead. Peace. Not as the world gives. This is peace the world cannot understand. It's peace between God and men. This is a peace that can only be won through the shedding of Jesus' innocent blood, which removes every stain of sin from your souls. The Prince of Peace does not win peace for you by conquering your enemies with bullets, bombs, and missiles. No, your real enemies are conquered by the warfare of Christ. He conquers your enemies, sin, death, and hell, by removing your sin from you, by giving you eternal life, and by making you a citizen of heaven. Dear saints in Christ, the message of Christmas is for you. God caused it to be written down for your benefit. In fact, all of Scripture applies to you and your life. Jesus was born for you. He is your Savior. All His words are written for your learning, so that you may grow in faith and confidence in your salvation found only in Jesus. You celebrate tonight not just an account that happened long ago and far away. Tonight, you celebrate the gospel truth that unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And all the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. gladly sing the hymn 441. The choir is going to sing a song, and then we'll continue on with the service. Direct and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, the angels and archangels, all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you. Pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
Jesus Christ, the other night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you.
meats. This is the true body of Christ. You make the death for your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise for prayers. Almighty God, by the incarnation of your eternal Son, you revealed that you are love. Give us true faith in Christ and his promise that by his conception, virgin birth, holy life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection, our sins are forgiven and that we are yours. Fill us with joy and lead us to proclaim your glad tidings to all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, we testify that your Son is the Savior of the world. Pour out your Spirit continually upon your people. Bless pastors as they proclaim Jesus, who became flesh to save us by dying and rising again. And open our mouths to praise the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember all families, Lord. Make each household a place of prayer and devotion to your word. Bless parents of young children with patience. Give comfort to the childless. Abide with the fatherless, widows and orphans, the lonely and those separated from their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
King of Israel, the one born in Bethlehem, is the Son of David and the Lord of David, to whom every knee shall bow. Look upon those who have been placed in authority and grant that they would govern in wisdom and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, in the birth of your Son, you have visited and redeemed your people. Continue to visit those who are lonely, sick, recovering, or near death, including Steve, Kathy, Emma, Bob, Jackie, Barb, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Shirley, Deanna, Rob, and Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Melinda, and Talitha. Let your presence be a comfort to them and give them perseverance until the time you grant them healing, relief, deliverance, and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
in our prayer.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who feeds us his very body and soul, give us true faith in your promises to all who receive your Son's body and blood this night. Sustain your people in humble repentance and godly living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things we pray, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have made known to us in the mystery of the Word made flesh, who has fulfilled all the law of the prophets and delivered us to you as your own people through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that we may do what is good and right and pleasing in your sight. To you be all glory, honor, and worship, praise now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace.
Amen.
At this time we will light the candles. They want you to push the candle up so it sticks a little bit above. Thank you.
have one announcement. Sienna went to the emergency room today. They thought she had a twisted bowel, and they were going to do surgery, and she was going to be in the hospital for a few days. And I called Alice before church. It wasn't a twisted bowel, it was an abscess that they were going to take care of, so she might even be coming home tomorrow. So just keep her in your prayers. Have a Merry Christmas.